right. We are coming up on lunch, but I'm going to try and give the panelists just time to maybe quickly answer one question each. So I'll start with Larry here with a simple question. Someone would like to know the role of the arms industry in our support for Israel.
Do you want me?
Sure.
For me? Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do I have to answer this?
There is a huge component of Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, others involved in everything the United States does today. One of the reasons that I argue we are in a period of interminable war is not just this threat of terrorism, which incidentally the Cato Institute did a nice paper on recently showing that you and I have about the potential to be killed by a terrorist as we do by a lightning strike, and yet we spent $2 trillion on this struggle and counting. As it boils out, the defense contracting industry now so huge that you wouldn't probably believe the numbers I would give you, still in Afghanistan, still in Iraq, and so forth, is a major component of presidential decision-making. It is a major component of congressional approval of that decision-making because it's so many jobs, it's so much money, and there is so much influence. In fact, I would submit that under the table, Lockheed Martin, in its narrow niche, is more powerful than AIPAC. And the Israelis in particular, others too, feed this, the French, the British, and so forth.
Yeah, just to elaborate that on that for a second, because I think it's a very important point and one that's not looked at very carefully. I mean, you remember I talked about the neocon pattern of threat inflation since the 70s. And of course, one of the biggest financial beneficiaries of threat inflation is the military industrial complex, so to speak. And I think this is a great subject of research for aspiring PhD candidates to determine to what extent neoconservatives are effectively supported by defense industries, either as consultants or house counsels or in various ways or taking ads in their publications, although I don't think that's that important. But I think it's a very important and often overlooked source of support for the neoconservative message and has been for 40 years.
Just one more question for Jim here. Someone wants to know if you believe there is a fundamental difference between the neoconservatives in the Republican Party and the neoliberals in the Democratic Party as it pertains to Israel.
Well, neoliberals, I don't know what I mean, I remember Dukakis was a neoliberal and Clinton was a neoliberal, but it was never very clear to me what that meant. I think it's more a question of liberal internationalists and sometimes liberal interventionists. And I would say, globally speaking, liberal interventionists or liberal internationalists in particular are very multilaterally inclined. They don't like acting unilaterally. Whereas neoconservatives are believe very strongly in unilateral action, particularly by the United States and by Israel. With respect to the Middle East in particular, I think there are more and more liberal internationalists who are having a harder and harder time justifying what Israel has been doing, particularly under this right-wing government. And I think there is a widening gap, and I'm sure Phil Weiss and perhaps some other speakers this afternoon will be elaborating on that subject.
Thank you. And finally for Justin, a couple of questions here about Donald Trump. So someone writes that yesterday Sheldon Adelson indicated that he's open to supporting Donald Trump, or inferred as much. So I guess your thoughts on that, giving Adelson's big support for Israel. And then someone who just wants to know, I guess kind of clarify Trump and the whole issue of Muslims and, you know, what does that mean? Are people who are supporting Trump selling out Latinos and Muslims and that kind of thing?
Well, as to Mr. Adelson, I have no insight into his inner psychology. But I mean, certainly he is a partisan Republican who would support anyone, you know, against the Democrats. So I think that he is more of a, you know, Republican activist than he is, you know, in spite of his reputation as a, you know, pro-Israel person. The other question is what exactly?
Are those who support Trump selling out American Muslims, Latinos, I guess other minorities, just taking shots?
Well, you know, I mean, look, Donald Trump said that he wants to, you know, forbid anyone who is a Muslim from coming into the United States. Now, how practical is that? I mean, is there a test? How can you tell? I mean, that is not going to happen. As to, you know, the Latino question, you know, I live in Sonoma County in Northern California, and I would say maybe half the population is illegal. And now they're giving them, you know, driver's licenses. And, of course, they're voting, you know, which is the whole reason why they're given driver's licenses. I mean, that is another thing, but it's not going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. And I think that I should clarify that I am not going to vote for Donald Trump. I am merely rooting for him. Okay. And there's a very big difference there. Because I would take, I mean, if I voted for him, then I would have to take moral responsibility for everything that he did, every single thing. And the only politician that I have actually ever done that for recently is, of course, Ron Paul. So. But, I mean, all of this, you know, liberal hand-wringing and tearing out of the hair is really just virtue signaling on, you know, the part of the media and those of us who take the media seriously. I mean, I think that Trump himself personally, although I've never met him and don't know him, I'm also from New York, so I know about New York hyperbole. I mean, if you say, you know, this sucks, this is terrible, this is rotten, actually, if you're from New York, it probably means, well, it's probably tolerable. So, I mean, he tends to exaggerate, and you know, given the era that we are living in, which is kind of like a cartoon anyway, it's very appropriate.
Thank you. Well, you've certainly given us, all three of you, a lot to talk about during lunch. Lunch will be served over on that side of the room, and also over at the Exhibition Hall, Kirk Beatty will be signing his books. We will see you after lunch. Enjoy.